This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's Friday. I know that's right. Sharp Money presented by Zen as we welcome you in. A big day, a big 3 hours ahead for us here on the program. DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you're having a nice week. Got a ton to do. If the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, and the rest of the crew have any self-respect for content, and there are some rumors floating around that Cuban is a big fan of Sharp Money, including Manny Davison. More on that to come. If they're a fan of content, they will show some heart tonight and fight, because we want a basketball game on Monday, not just from a broadcasting perspective, from a betting perspective. Endless props to bet, sides, totals, plenty to do. So let's talk about that quickly as we start off the Friday program here. So depending on what the book needs, and that's the important part here and why you're always line shopping, Dallas right now, DraftKings is showing them as a 1-point favorite. But if you go down the road from where the big guy sits, Westgate is showing Boston a 1-point favorite. We'll get to where Circa is sitting. But again, depending on what the book needs, this is on either side of zero. We now have seen the total drop to 211, 211 and a half. Of course, keeps coming down with three straight unders in the NBA Finals. We've got a 3-0 series lead for the Celtics there. We've got a 3-0 series lead on the ice as well. We'll get to that with the Cats. The Panthers picking up a big win in Edmonton last night. So plenty to do, not just with the basketball and the hockey. College World Series, you've got eight teams getting underway today. SEC, ACC, four teams from each. So we'll talk about the College World Series. We gave you picks on that yesterday with John Bowman. NFL-wise, Trevor Lawrence signed a big extension. Don't get bogged down in the money. That's not what this is about. It has nothing to do with what he's getting paid. Is he worth it? That's not the conversation. We'll have the proper conversation on Trevor Lawrence coming up in just a little bit. The Euros underway. Germany's about to play Scotland. Just won a game in the Euro Championships as far as football, soccer globally. And then tomorrow is a very busy day, so we'll have some on that as well. As far as the show is concerned, as we get started, we've got some pretty dramatic news, and that is Nish Gandhi has taken down Manny Davidson. So we've had 17. Now, this is Sharp Money Survivor, where if you're a VSiN pro, you can get involved. And, of course, you try to survive. You pick till you die, just like the Survivor contest that Circa is going to throw out at you for the football season. This is pretty simple. We've had 17 contestants, and Nish Gandhi is our 17th. And our third survivor, our third contestant was, and again, tomato, tomato, is he in jail? Is he not? I say he's incarcerated. He says he's not. But that's Manny Davidson. You know, he's out there in the desert in Arizona. He was our third survivor, and he had been our leader up until our 17th survivor. Because last night, a little rocking chair win for my man in the Tesla, Nish Gandhi. So he picks up the dub. He is the first of 17 contestants across Sharp Money Survivor to hit on four straight days. One pick a day. That's the first of 17 to hit. Shows you this isn't easy. But Nish Gandhi, congratulations. I believe we have an official release coming up later in the program from Manny Davidson, letting you know exactly how he feels. U.S. Open underway. Scottie Scheffler looks like he's going to miss the cut. So if you got involved in plus 280 with 153 golfers, that was a crazy number. And right now, the world's number one in peril, looking like he may miss the cut. So we'll get to that and let you know where the leaderboard stands at Pinehurst, number two, which, by the way, I can't stand. I know the USGA, their whole entire mission in life is to beat the golfers, to beat the best in the world. But that is, those greens are ridiculous. I'm not into it. That's just me. Anyway, again, hope you're well. Let's get it started, because there's so much to do. Before we welcome in the big guy, see how he's feeling? See if he has any new crushes today? Getting ready for that Sunday program. Thomas Gable is going to be joining his regular Friday spot coming up in less than an hour. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. TG will go behind the book. Noop-a-doop. Alex Noops Christensen with some props tonight. Game 4 in Dallas. FTN NBA handicapper. Oh, Mikey Betts. Mike Somich is going to stop by. He's a VSiN host. He's a better. Mike Somich, hour number 3 on a Friday. All right. That's a big build-up, a nice little runway to, of course, the star of the program. His name is Dustin Sweet. Just ask him. His name is Dustin Sweetelson, and we say hi for the first time today. Always interested to see how you start.
The longer you go, the more is expected from me. And I've been sitting on this one since you first started talking, like, I don't know, like 15 minutes ago when the show started. Got to check my watch. Yep, that's about right. So either the soundtrack of the night and of the weekend will either be the Bee Gees or Sarah McLachlan. We're either staying alive or we will remember you.
Let's go back to Dustin Sweetelson. First thoughts of the day. We get started on a Friday. Want to start off on a big note. And we go back to Dustin. Dustin, how you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm feeling great, Patrick. It's great to be here. Thrilled for a big Friday show. Can't wait to talk to Mike Somich later so he can tell me how everything I believe in the world is incorrect.
Whoa, is there beef? Now there's something I can grab onto. Song shtick didn't do it for me, but maybe some inner show beef amongst friends. What's happening here?
It's not a beef. It's just, haven't you noticed, Somich really enjoys. Like, some people just do it. I think there's genuine joy in him when he can hit you with an I told you so.
Yeah. He'll ask me questions, and I know he doesn't care about the answer because he's just waiting to come off the top rope to be like, no, I'm smarter than you. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure his friends and family have told him his whole entire life. He'll just be like, hey, you got any soccer plays? He'll come in like, I'm going corner. You know, it's his thing. Well, I know. Why? What did he do to you?
No, but that's the point is today. He reached out to see if you had soccer bets because you are the soccer guy. Then he drops, well, I'm going to go with this bet. Just so he can say,
why didn't you just write me with your bets? Why you could have just, and then he's trying to tell me what Felik has got. Felik is thirsty to get on. Look, that's my guy. It's like, okay, go Finland in the Euros. I understand. Hey, I got your back though. If Somich is, I told you so-ing you, and what? Hold on a minute, you. I got your back. What did he do to you?
No, I'm getting ahead of it right now. I'm anticipating it that he's going to look through my bets and be like, yeah, I know. I know you like the Pirates and the Cardinals yesterday, first 5 under, but I would have told you that game was going to have a lot of runs.
Yeah, but here's the thing with your sensitivity, though, and we should talk about this for bettors and why sports betting is just like anything in life. You have agreed to go on VSiN Primetime once a week and fill up the content. You know, Tim Murray can handle it himself, but they asked you to come in and join the crew for once a week. And you're good friends with Jonathan Von Tobel.
Yes.
And you and Jonathan, and this is where pride gets in the way for sports betting. You, and I'm not weaponizing, you and Jonathan are both all in on a rookie of the year bet. Would you care to refresh?
I thought Yamamoto for the Dodgers a couple weeks ago at about 650, I want to say 675, was a great play. Jonathan has a preseason 30-1 on Paul Skeens.
Right. And so I'm trying to think how we can make this constructive for the better. Maybe it's about not allowing pride to get in the way of process. Maybe there's something to this. So Dustin goes on and he does what he does. He just entertains the hell out of you. And we're talking the next day and he's like, yeah, it's like JVT, that's my friend, but he wanted to argue with me about our rookie of the year ticket. And I'm just not about to get into that. And I said, well, hold on now. What do you mean he's trying to argue with you? He liked his take on Skeens. I liked my take on Yamamoto. And I just wasn't about to get in the dirt. First off, you're on a broadcast. Get in the dirt. Roll around. Have some fun. And secondly, a nice little conversation between the two of you may teach the better something.
Well, yeah, and what I said was, we're having two different conversations. 30-1 and plus 675 are very different. 31 gives you some opportunities to be creative later in the year as other people shorten up, as Skeen shortens up. You can jump in and get really good value across the board and lock in a great profit. I was coming from a point of view of, this number is going away. and there was an opportunity to fade the two guys that were ahead at the top of the betting board with Imanaga, who's getting hit up a little bit in two starts prior, and then Paul Skeens, who I think is going to have an innings limit this year. So JVT asked me, but do you think Skeens can win the award? And I said, of course. Of course he can, but I have to come up with an angle where I can back that plus 650, plus 675, because I think it's a great number to have in pocket.
Okay, you explained it well. You did your job. No Sarah McLachlan needed. You nailed it. There was two different conversations,
yes,
which is always the case. There's one side of the argument, another side of the argument, maybe the truth somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, with Imanaga winning the award and us both being wrong.
That could happen as well. That's baseball, Susan.
Also, please adopt a dog so Sarah McLachlan stops singing on my screen. Please, people, go get one.
You know, and obviously a little edge to you today. Started the show with me being too verbose. So the longer I talk to set up the program, you get frustrated and you start thinking about what you're going to say. That was a little passive to say, wow, you just set up the show well and I had nothing to say.
That's exactly what happened. Well, but
so you can't turn it on me and then always say that I'm the mean one.
No, but the pressure builds with every minute that is delayed of me speaking to start the show. More and more is anticipated and expected out of me, and I don't like those expectations.
I understand. Well, you're doing a great job to start.
Oh, thank you.
You look great. You look trim. You look fit. And you know what we have to do? We have to bet some basketball tonight. So when we return...
One last time.
Now, that's not what you said this morning. I think you might be on the Mavs. We're going to have to try to find a way, whether it be through the prop market, whether it be through the total, to beat this Celtics team, because I don't think they're losing tonight. We'll get into that coming up next here. Sharp Money, presented by Sarah Zinn. Okay, Father's Day coming up this Sunday. Let's hook Dad up this Father's Day. Give him a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Omaha Steaks. Packages start at $99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, at checkout to get $10 off your order. Show your dad the love he deserves with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com and use that promo code VSIN at checkout. Okay, we got you back here. Sharp Money presented by Zinn. We're going to pay off that May bet. Remember, when you use the promo code SHARP to sign up to become a VSIN Pro with the special during May, we had three things going on. I'm paying a couple of you back. You go to the front of the line for Sharp Money Survivor. And we're drawing the names that did sign up using the promo code SHARP out of a hat. And one of you, we're going to get to know the new pro. One of you next week are going to get a segment right here on Sharp Money. So we have the names, and there it is. We've got the hat. We've got the names. And later in the program, we'll have our little raffle and draw them out. Okay? So let's get you back and talk about this series. This has been a disheartening series. I would say if you've been a Dallas Mavericks backer, as the big guy and I have been with our futures play, I know Samich was on the futures play as well. We talked about it yesterday, and the more I think about it, I haven't had a 180 on a team across the four majors like I've had on the Celtics in a long time. I have immense respect for this team. I didn't like them. I didn't like the makeup. I didn't like anything about them. And then this finals, they've kind of shut me up. I think they've shut down a narrative. And even Dan Shaughnessy came on the program and said, look, I've been covering this team for 45 years. I need to see something from them in a big spot. And in big spots, when they kind of reverted back to who they've been with the lapses in judgment and focus and kind of taking the foot off the gas there with the 22-2 run over the final 10 minutes against the Mavs. Now, it helped that Luka followed with 4:12 to go, but that big run, they were able to lock down defensively. And with that, I don't even want to bag on Tatum right now because this is a respect thing for the Celtics. With that, we've seen the maturation and evolution of Jaylen Brown and just the roster construct. Now, again, Danny Ainge, responsible, same draft for Tatum and Brown, cornerstones, but the roster construct since then by Stevenson has been remarkable. And this is potentially, you're unlocking a monster. And a monster in the aspect of, if the Celtics win this one, which nobody's ever lost in their position in the NBA, if the Celtics were to go on and beat the Mavericks tonight or through the seven games, you're going to have potentially a pretty scary team for years to come, because that's a young team. It's pretty good as far as the contract situation is concerned. And they're going to be dangerous because the confidence they're going to build from not being questioned anymore. Again, throughout the postseason, there's been questions, rightfully so, and they've been prickly. Mazzulla's been prickly. Tatum's been sensitive. Jaylen Brown has been sensitive, though passively pretending not to care, then jumping on Twitter and caring. So their antennas have been up, but they've answered all the questions. And so you got to give them credit. Conversely, we talked about it yesterday. This is a terrible look for Luka. He's not in that Jokic-Giannis conversation, and he's got to get in shape, and he's got to stop bitching. That's the bottom line. Now, what surprises me is it's almost like with the Panthers and Oilers, we've seen everything we need to see. One team is better. One team is up 3-0. The other team's going to be favored at home. And that's Celtics-Mavericks. One team has proven through three games they're the deeper, they're more quality, they're the better team, more talented. Yet you take a look right now, DraftKings and the Mavericks are laying a point. I will get into it from a numbers perspective, from a metric perspective. We'll jump into the handicap, but I want you to step back as a bettor and ask yourself what your eyeballs have seen for three straight games that would ever think, and again, the Celtics have been better on the road for a long time now than they're at home. What makes you believe this Celtics team isn't, unless they just want to celebrate in Boston, isn't ready to bury a Mavericks team that hasn't stopped complaining, not ready to be carried by Kyrie if Luka's having issues, and the ancillary players that we've been jockeying throughout the postseason haven't posted yet outside of a flash from PJ Washington when it was desperation mode. So I start there. What have you seen? You haven't seen anything. So again, based on the book that you're looking at, based on what they need as far as money, this is a pick 'em. This is Mavs 1. This is Celtics 1. We're using DraftKings Lane 1 as our barometer here, and 211.5 on the total big guy.
I just think if you're betting this one and you want to bet the Mavericks because of the situation, I think the only play is in the first half or even the first quarter. Here's why. It's kind of ironic, too, because the whole handicap at the beginning of this series was you believed in Dallas in the second half. You believed that they had two guys who could close better than the Celtics could close. Well, the Celtics haven't really had to worry about closing because they've won by a bunch to start this series. The reason why I think you come out with an inspired Luka off that horrible, horrible ending, fouling out with like 4.5 to go in game 3, I think you get him inspired early on. Dallas comes out and scores a lot, and we've seen this from Boston. Boston knows, similar to what the Denver Nuggets have done over the course of the last two seasons, they know that they can take your best shot, they can absorb it, they can stop, regroup, recalibrate, and go attack you again later in the game. They're going to let Dallas hit them with their best shot, and Boston knows that when they have to turn it on themselves, they're capable of doing that and running away with this thing. So that's why I think if you wanted to back Dallas in this situation, based on everything you said, you can't bet them to win this game. But I do think because of how poorly things went last game in that fourth quarter, that they will win the first half.
I think the first half is something interesting to look at. We can expound upon that in just a second. I do think if you're talking yourself into the Mavs, you firstly would admit they have to score 100 points.
Yeah.
Because they haven't done that through three.
Okay.
And that is back to my point. When all else fails for the Celtics offensively and they go through those lulls, their defense has been stifling. Their defense has been on point. I just don't see, unless Luka plays hero ball here, how they can get to 100. We haven't seen it through three.
No, but you're right. If they have to get to 100, Luka's a lock for 30. Kyrie, probably 25.
Let's take a look at his number.
25
What do you think he said at?
29.5 would be my guess. I
Luka,
did not look.
My guess is he's 30, 32, somewhere in there. I'll take a look right now. Continue your point. My apologies.
Well, the point is, let's say the two of them combined for around 60. you still got to get 40 from another group of people that you just can't rely on right now. Derek Lively's a big. He can't create his own shot. The lobs have not been there. He's not been able to dominate in the paint. PJ Washington is very unreliable. He is not a real number three option, at least on a title team. So now we're going desperation again for Tim Hardaway Jr., who was scoreless last game, who everyone thought had a chance to ignite a little bit of energy into this team. I don't know how you're accumulating the other 40 points to get to 100, and that's with Kyrie and Luka giving you 30.
Yeah, 32 and a half on Luka. Kyrie's number is, let's take a look here, just curious based on what he did, 24 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. 27 and a half for Tatum, 24 and a half for Brown. So they adjusted Brown a point from game three, from 23 and a half up to 24 and a half.
Yeah.
You look like you had something to say.
Well, no, I'm just realizing I have a bet to sweat out tonight that I forgot about that is still very much alive, because as we sit right now, Derek White is the three-point leader in this series, and I have him at plus 425 to lead the finals in three-pointers. So I'm just realizing that that bet's still alive as we were looking at these props right now.
It's a tremendous job by you.
Just remember.
The idea that Porzingis is going to play is the other factor here. Now, proven in game three, doesn't matter, which is also adding to
irrelevant.
The Mavs' misery. My assumption is, now Mazzulla said he's going to be a game time decision. Doesn't start at 12:24 my time, 3:24 on the East Coast. Here's the decision. He's not going to play. What would ever be the point? Why would you ever risk the future of Porzingis when you're up 3-0? You have a chance if he's good to go next time on Monday, you play him. I can't imagine a scenario where he plays tonight.
You don't need him. It's the NBA Finals. You don't need him. You don't need a starter who you're going to bring off the bench anyway. You don't need Kristaps Porzingis. You are the better team. You are the deeper team. You are the more disciplined team. And I want to play something for you in the next segment from Jason Tatum, because I thought something you said earlier plays a role in this. I think we questioned the Boston Celtics in the past for not being able to put teams away, for not being able to snap necks, to not have that killer instinct when it matters the most. I am very, very nervous if I was going to bet the Mavericks tonight. I'd be very nervous that Boston is creating this narrative on their own to keep that edge, to keep the motivation, to keep themselves fired up, because they heard everything everyone said. And if they sweep the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, I don't care what path they went through, they will have a drop mic moment for this organization.
I think the Luka first quarter points at 8.5 is something to look to.
Yes,
he's done 100%. All his damage quarters 1 through 3 and done nothing in the fourth quarter. He's going to be pissed. We'll come back and discuss the props next. Hey, become a VSiN Pro with our spring special. 13 months for $199, so you get a month for free. So this is generally 1 year, 12 months, $240. Save $41, get a month for free. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. You can sign up using the promo code SHARP. You get the picks, the splits, everything we offer, including the guides. vsin.com/subscribe, promo code SHARP. Dustin Sweetelson live in Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. This is Sharp Money presented by Zen. You made it. It is Friday, June 14. You've got game 4 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight. Here's just to get my first bet in on Luka and talk about a few props here. You're going to hear from Tatum. You're going to hear from Kidd. You're going to hear from everybody. First three quarters in this series, Luka, 81 points, 54% from the field. The fourth quarter, he scored 8 points and shot 20% from the field. Now, there's a couple of things here, and this is separate from the mindset. The mindset needs to change. He needs to get in shape. That has nothing to do with the fact that I'm sure Luka is injured. He's been telling us the whole entire postseason that he's not going to be healthy to the offseason, and we know this, but that doesn't in any way excuses behavior, nor am I going to make excuses for the poor play as the game wears on. Now, he did tell Malika Andrews, look, game 3 was my fault. I let my team down. Completely true. He also let her know that, yes, I'm going to take the shot. So letting everybody know that he's injured. Yes, I'm going to take the shot. And this is where I like Luka. Now, you probably have to lay a little juice, but 8.5 in the first quarter. First off, off the 6 prior losses, Luka's averaging close to 13 in the first quarter. So he comes out motivated. But there's more to this and why I like the over 8.5 in the first quarter for Luka tonight. When he gets that shot, You've all been there. You take the medicine, it feels freaking awesome. And then what happens? It starts to taper off. It starts to wear off. The effects of the shot, the effects of the medicine start to wear off. And that's what's happened with Luka throughout the NBA Finals. He's just gotten tired. The shot's worn off. So he's going to come out. He understands what's being said about him. He understands that he needs to lift his team up in an improbable spot. He's going to be fresh off the shot. Literally, he admitted he's taking one. And I like him over 8.5, big guy, in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt Luka comes out and he takes a lot of shots early. Like, I see Kyrie setting Luka
I meant
up.
Shot, like medical shot.
No, I know.
And then now, yeah, I agree with you. He's going to take a lot of shots.
I think there's going to be a concerted effort to get him going right. That way he's working downhill, not uphill throughout the game. Because as the shots fall, he gets hot, he gets cocky, and they keep falling. I like this play a lot. I want to hear from Luka. This is a portion of that conversation with Malika Andrews that you mentioned, where he talked about what went on last game and owning up to letting his teammates down.
It's down.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like I say, you know, it wasn't the smartest thing to do, especially in this situation. It's the finals. You got to give everything. You know, a little tired out there. But, yeah, you know, Kyrie's been great for me, just having him on here.
So what did you say to your teammates afterwards?
It's my bad. You know, can't do that, especially in the NBA finals. You know, regular season is a little bit different. But can't really do that in the final.
Yeah, a couple things. I mean, he's accountable, so you like the accountability. Well, it's not like he's still continuing to make excuses. And I know you're going to, before you jump in, he's 25 years old. His brain isn't even formed yet. He's figuring this out. He's a kid. I mean, relatively speaking, a kid.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. What I'd say, though, is the whining to the refs constantly, aside from fouling out is a totally different thing. But it's the whining, right? Like it's a cause and effect thing. The effect is fouling out of the game. The cause is the constant whining and letting the refs get in your head and just looking at them after every call and not being able just to move on to the next one or admit you're ever wrong. That is the issue here, because then he gets wrapped up in this little world where he's unraveling in front of everyone. The emotions get the better of him, and they can't afford for him to not be locked in on what the next goal is, which is getting a bucket or getting a stop.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see him bitching tonight.
No.
It's just too soon. It's not 72 hours. It's 48 hours from when he embarrassed himself. I'm sure people have talked to him. Look, we know he's closely guarded. That's why Finley grabbed the beer from him when cameras are around.
Yes.
People get to him. 8.5 over first quarter. Who's next?
All right, Jason Tatum, because you know you talked about the turn we've all had to do. We've all had to just tip our hat and say, you know what? These Boston Celtics are different. They're special. They're a great team. And Jason Tatum met with the media yesterday and was asked about this Celtics group and how different they've been. Well, they're possibly about to finish with the best postseason record in Celtics franchise history. And here's what he had to say about that tidbit.
I didn't know that. That would be really cool. But, you know, you guys probably would say we didn't play anybody to get here. So we just have to do it again next year.
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, dude, stop. My gosh. And so, you know what that reminds me? It's like there's in the betting community, there's a new trend, which is, and I understand the social media, you're trying to, you know, up your presence, but people say, hey, I'm giving out these bets today. If I go undefeated, I'm going to buy you a coffee. Or if I go undefeated, I'm going to ship you money. And again, I understand building a brand, but it's just like dating. A girl's always, or a guy, is always going to sense desperation. So if you're begging for people to like you, it's desperate. If you're constantly taking shots, even when people are complimenting you, a la Jason Tatum right there, it's a little beneath you. It just comes across as desperate and petty. So I don't love that quote, but he's a good kid. Jaylen Brown -360 MVP. Jason Tatum +260 right now. So it's Browns to lose. Luka 22-1 if he can pull some hero ball. And Drew Holiday at 75-1 is crazy. If Drew Holiday went out today and went buku, he could win. He had been until game three the best player for the Celtics outside of game one. In totality, he had been the best player. So 75-1 is crazy.
Okay. So that brings me to my prop for tonight. because I'm on Drew Holiday over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I just think the situation we're in, Boston wants to get this thing done. They understand what's on the line when it comes to legacy. And you look at Drew Holiday, he is in such a great position because you have to slow down Jaylen Brown at this point. If you're Dallas, you look across the other side, you go, hold on. Jaylen Brown's getting whatever he wants, however he wants. He's getting to the rim. He's shooting threes. He's making things happen with the ball in his hands. You have to give extra attention to Jaylen Brown at this point. And honestly, I have to let Jason Tatum just shoot because he's going to miss, it seems like, right now. So that means who benefits from that? I thought it would be Derek White. It has not been Derek White as much as I thought it would be to be in the MVP race. But when it comes to tonight's game, 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists, you also have to remember Dallas horrible with rebounds to opposing shooting guards. I've been on that a couple times with Holiday this series, 1-1 on that bet. But he's also the only guy on the Celtics team with a ring. He's been there before. He is not going to be frazzled by the big moment, by the opportunity in front of them to clinch this thing and sweep the Dallas Mavericks on their home floor. So I think if he locks down Kyrie, that helps your point about MVP. But I love Drew Holiday for everything I just mentioned, for over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
There you go. Had 26 points in game two.
Yes.
You combine the PRA. I don't hate that. Who's next?
All right, the next one here, let's hear from Joe Mazzulla. We were wondering, what are they going to do with Porzingis? So Joe Mazzulla met with the media yesterday and was asked about being up 3-0 and whether that impacts how they'll use Kristaps Porzingis.
He can play.
No. No, I think that's a rather passive way to look at things. I think at the end of the day, we have to continue to do what we do. Kristaps gotten better from yesterday to today. He's fighting like hell to play, but it's going to be up to us to protect him and to make sure that he's in the best. It's in the best interest for him as a player and a person. And none of that going into what's best for a player and a person has nothing to do with where we're at from a basketball standpoint.
All right.
And then your boy Mazzulla, he's had a bit of a glow up. I like the answer there. I like the protecting Porzingis. I'm coming around that I was dead wrong about this guy, and he might be a savant. He might know a lot about basketball, and I'm an idiot. I'm a donk. So, Joe Mazzulla, wonder what the players think of him? Derek White shared his favorite Joe Mazzulla quote from this past season yesterday.
Favorite Joe Mazzulla quote. He won Coach of the Month, and I was like, hey, congratulations. And he just looked at me and said, nobody cares.
All right. So if you couldn't hear that, Derek White said 1 month this year, he had one Coach of the Month. Derek White congratulated him. Mazzulla said nobody cares.
He's not wrong.
Very stoic.
He's not
of
wrong.
Joey Mazz.
No.
It's funny. It what's really fascinating is it's just really a reflection of society. We respect people and then we change our opinions completely when they have success. Obviously, that goes hand in hand. But winners get respect, and Mazzulla wins the championship. He turns from donk into the king, and that's why on the verge of a sweep of the Mavs, you're admitting you could potentially be wrong about Mazzulla.
Wrong about Mazzulla, but right about Tatum and Brown. The criticism has been fair up to this point. That's what I'll say.
You did call Jason Tatum, quote, a loser.
Lifetime loser. He hadn't won anything. He still hasn't won it yet.
I think it's a pretty good shot he does, but you're on to something there. All right, we'll finish up with our props tonight and get into the hockey next. Okay, DraftKings and the NBA Finals. Draft partnership and betting partnership, of course. Bet $5, get $150 instantly for new customers paid for in bonus bets using the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Get over to DraftKings, bet game four before we don't have much more to bet. Use that promo code VSIN. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Okay, pack show coming up. We've got Thomas Gable, Alex Noops Christensen, and our buddy Mike Samich joining, just wrapping up the basketball. Quickly, you mentioned Dustin Sweetelson on Patrick Maher, Sharp Money, presented by Zen here on DraftKings and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A couple of things. Calling Tatum a loser is definitely a statement.
What's he
but
want?
You had in your notes this morning, first off, the most playoff points by a player before turning 27 years old, Kobe Bryant, 2,694. Jason Tatum, 2,665. He's number two. Since entering the league, Jason Tatum leads the NBA in playoff games, playoff wins, playoff points, playoff field goals, playoff free throws. So it's not terrible for a loser.
No, but we could isolate my hands right now, and then I could take my face out of this picture. How do I get my head out of the picture? There we go. And then we could snapshot that, and I could go, are those my hands or Jason Tatum's hands? Because we both have the same amount of rings right now.
Oh, my God. You ran a marathon to get there.
Out of breath.
But we got there. I didn't know. I didn't know if you were training for something or trying to make a point, but we got there. So I do appreciate you, man. You're doing a great job. 2 years where the NBA, I don't know what to say. 2 years where the NBA and NHL finals were sweeps, as you mentioned in your notes. 95, the Rockets over the Magic and the Devils over the Red Wings. With that trap, which was gross. 83, the 76ers over the Lakers, Islanders over the Oilers. So we're in that situation here on the ice and on the wood. Okay. Let's finish this up. I know you have a couple more pieces of sound you want to play.
Yeah, look, coming off of the emotional game for Luka, now looking for the bounce back. This is essentially what Kyrie was brought in to avoid the moments we saw in the last game. So Kyrie met with NBA TV's Jared Greenberg earlier today and was asked, what does he tell Luka Doncic when Luka gets so emotional on the floor?
Talked to him pretty consistently about having his back and understanding that we're growing together. We're not going to ever play a perfect game. We understand that, but we do have to learn how to control our emotions in high intense environments. And when you're on the final stage, everything's going to be exacerbated. Everybody's watching everything that you do. So the responsibility is a little bit different as a leader. And I think that we're learning that together. It's unfortunate that we've had the losses that we've had, but he's been putting his best foot forward offensively, giving us a chance. And defensively, I know he's taking the challenge on of just trying to play team defense well. So as much as he can be great for us offensively and defensively, now the next growth for us is to be able to control our emotions in high intensity.
I don't know what PR situation's going on behind the scenes, but that is almost a robotically perfect answer from Kyrie. I don't really have much to say from that.
It also feels like a guy who follows like an Instagram account with daily motivational quotes, and every day he uses whatever quote was the daily Instagram motivational quote into his interviews, because that's what that sounded like. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I could use more of that in my life.
Okay. Yeah, he that's pretty calculated, so I don't know what to take from it. Again, I'm just going to continue pointing out Luka, 8.5, go over first quarter. Anything else from the two sides here before we move on?
Kyrie, big journey. It's about the journey, not the destination guy. That's the vibe I'm getting right now. Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
The destination will end in a ring and a parade this year, so he was asked yesterday, what's the mindset being up 3-0?
Yeah, I mean, just stick to the things that we've been doing. I mean, have an understanding. I think, we were down 13. I expected that. We were down 1.5. I expected that. So you got to expect the expected. You got to understand that, we're just as vulnerable, if not more vulnerable than they are. And we have to play that way. And so as long as we have that mindset, and when you understand that you're vulnerable and your back's against the wall, you got to fight. And so that's the mindset that we have to have.
Okay, we have come to the end of the road. We will not be hearing from anybody anymore because we've hit the cliche wall dead on. It's just time to play basketball.
Did that conversation not remind you of the frustrating conversations you and I have all the time where I ask you something that I know nothing about, then you go, yeah, it's whatever, then I have an opinion and I tell you how I have it figured out, and you just go, yeah, man, I don't know. Sounds like you got it all figured out. Don't know why you're asking me. That's what Mazzulla sounded like in that moment. You've got it all figured out. You expected to be down. You expected to be up. You expected to win. You knew everything. You knew how the game was going to play out. How much did you bet on it then?
Yeah, I just check out of those with you. I give you the dub.
Yeah.
I just say, I give you the W. I don't want to have the conversation. I don't care, but I'm proud of you. That's all I'd say.
I was reading a thing about Keanu Reeves lately where that's his thing. It's, if you want to tell me that 1 + 1 = 5, you're welcome to it, and I hope you have a great day.
Excellent. Bob and Ted.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted, certainly. Okay, the boys were buzzing in the group last night, and we had a welcomed visitor, and that is Hockey Suite. So yesterday, Dustin tuned into hockey, and he jumped in with the boys. And of course, the boys were buzzing. You've got your Haltermans, you've got your Somiches, and you've got Patrick Puck. And yesterday, look, this closed with the Oilers laying $1.48, and you're coming back with Florida plus 124. Regardless, if you thought the Oilers were going to win that game, you can't lay near $1.50 on the Oilers when you realize and you recognize, even if you're the most ardent Oiler supporter, that the Panthers are the better team. Like, a lot would have to go right on specials. A lot would have to go right. Bounces, puck luck, whatever you want to say for the Oilers to beat the Panthers. So the plus 124 was a gift. And I know Samich was on it, but Samich and I laid a puck and a half as well with the Panthers. We got screwed with the late goal. It's all good. About 5 minutes to play. Congratulations to Halterman on the over 5.5. And a welcomed addition with the Buzzin' Boys in the group. And that is Dustin Sweetelson, who jumped in to say he always knew the Oilers stunk. And whether or not they stink, that is not necessarily the question here, but we definitely know the Panthers are the superior team. Obviously a 4-3 win, one win away from their first cup. If Florida opened the scoring in the first period, Edmonton tied it up, and then three straight from the Panthers. 4-1 lead in the third. Oilers got to within a goal, 5 minutes to play, and then Bob, the Hall of Famer, two-time Vezina winner, Bobrovsky for the Panthers, shut them down. Good defense from the Panthers as well. From the Florida perspective, to start, Bobrovsky has been fantastic. He's faced 86 shots in the Stanley Cup final, and he saved 82 of them. Not bad. And then you have to go to the penalty kill. They were again perfect last night, the Cats, 3-for-3. Hits, again, out-hit, which is, it's not a great look for the Oilers, coming back to that barn, which was absolutely electric last night, and to get out hit again. Look, you're on your home ice. You should be out hitting the Panthers. 37-32 on the road for the Panthers in hits. No panic. And this is, you know, they were there last year. They tasted the defeat against VGK, but... And Barkov is the best for it. He is so freaking good offensively and defensively. They're just a better team. They didn't show any panic, even when it got to within a goal with 5 minutes to play. Edmonton, let's put it this way. Edmonton, a ton of shots, but were they quality shots? Like, sometimes shots on goal can be misleading, and I don't think it was necessarily overly as far as the quality category. And all you need to know about this series is last night, Dustin, Florida scored 3 goals in the second period. Over 8 periods in the series, the Oilers have scored 3 goals. So 1 period to 3 games, that is not necessarily what you want to see equaled if you're an Oilers fan. 3-0 Stanley Cup Finals. It's only happened once, and it was back during World War II, 1942, when the Maple Leafs were down 3-0 to my Red Wings. Shout to Sid Abel, who was on the Red Wings. He's a Hall of Famer. Farmington Hills, Michigan, Sid Abel. You know the man. But the Red Wings lost to the Leafs up 3-0. That's the only time it's ever happened. And if you're watching the... Again, $1.18. Let me just take a look and see if DraftKings has moved that number at all. On game 4 coming up here, we're showing $1.18, so still favored, which is hilarious with the Oilers. Yeah, $1.18, lay $1.02 on the Panthers, and I will be doing that. 5.5 on the total. You go a little juice, $1.20, even money on the over 5.5, big guy. But it was nice to see you jump into the chat with the boys, and you were certainly buzzing.
Maple Leafs, 42. Some facts about 1942. Battle of Stalingrad happened during WW2. The Manhattan Project started. Anne Frank received her diary for her 13th birthday. Bambi, Casablanca, Yankee Doodle Dandy came out, and Silly Putty was created, all in 1942.
Regardless of your affiliation or national pride, I think we can all admit the Canadian national anthem slaps. Gable's next.